All right, everybody, welcome back to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast. I'm Devin Davidson, your host. With me, as always, is Bruce Gunther, my co-host. Bruce, how are you today?
Good. Good evening, everybody.
We're just talking that there's a lot of things that went on this week in terms of hockey news. The first one we're going to kick off with here is the NHL announcing their seven-year deal with Turner Sports as a secondary U.S. TV partner. This one took me as a bit of a surprise. I don't know about you, Bruce, but, you know, Turner Sports and TNT, TBS, that to me, that always is baseball, right? That's the first thing I think of when I hear TNT or TBS.
Basketball,
right?
First thing for me when I hear TNT or that is basketball, because that's, yeah.
Well, TNT, yeah, you're right.
Well, and baseball because of the Braves, right?
So that's right. Yeah,
it was Turner broadcasting. It was always Braves. The Braves, right?
So. Yeah. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. But this is good, though. They've got it's a seven-year agreement, right? They've got regular season Stanley Cup and Stanley Cup final games being televised on TNT and TBS starting next season and running through the 2027-2028 season. As part of the agreement, Turner Sports will televise the NHL Winter Classic, the annual New Year's Day outdoor game, which we're all very familiar with. And that's going to be for all 7 years of the deal. So for me, like the Winter Classic, I try to watch that every year. You know, it's mostly a novelty, but usually they have two marquee teams playing in that game, right?
Yeah. This year's was rather entertaining. They had to cancel it and play it the next evening.
So yeah, that was fun. All the players were...
Too much sunlight.
Too much sunlight. It was a spectacular setting, right? Like
that was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Gorgeous. I think a lot of people would like to see more of that, but obviously the ice conditions need to improve a little bit.
Yeah. There was one player, I forget which team... He actually thought they were playing on the lake.
Yeah, who was that?
I can't remember the name of the player. He actually thought they were playing on the lake.
Yeah, I think it was Pierre-Edward Belmar, I think it was.
That had been something. Skating along, all of a sudden, he fell through the ice. Get through.
Yeah, like, honestly, you looked. It looked like summertime almost, right? There was a bit of beautiful snow there, but...
Yeah.
So, anyway... Yeah, this is a good deal for the NHL. The Stanley Cup Final is going to be televised in 2023, 2025, and 2027. They're also going to have one conference final series each season, half of the first two rounds of the playoffs, plus 72 regular season games per season. You know, alternatively, the Stanley Cup Final is going to be televised on ABC in 2022, 2024, 26, and 28 as part of the deal with the Walt Disney and ESPN. So, I mean, I think that's good for the NHL. They've kind of locked up some really key partners here in terms of their TV rights for the next 7 to 10 years. I know a lot of people, a lot of players were really excited that hockey was coming back to ESPN. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, ESPN and Turner Sports, they're arguably the two biggest sports networks in the States, right? So
yeah,
I know NBC has the Olympics and stuff like that, so they're big with that, but... Yeah, I think it's great for the NHL, at least for the American viewers anyway, because that's a lot more exposure. You're not having to look at just NBC now. It's going to be on a number of different places on TV and streaming too. So that's
great. Right, because I think they had mentioned they were going to be streaming over 1,000 out-of-market games on ESPN Plus, which is actually going to replace NHL.TV, which is awesome. And, you know, following that up, it looks like the deals here are going to average $635 million a year, $425 million from Disney and $225 million from Turner. So in an era, you know, where we've had COVID, we've got a flat cap, you know, all types of businesses have been really struggling, but I think this is a really good thing for the NHL where they've kind of expanded their reach across the U.S.
Yeah. And I think from what I understand, this was the kind of area they were looking for too. So they didn't have to give in and cut a deal, basically.
Right.
Where in previous years they've had to take less money just to get on there. It looks like this go around they didn't have to do that. It looked like they got what they were asking for. So,
yep, definitely. So this is really positive news. I guess next on the agenda here, I'm going to let you follow up with this one because I think this is your point. But big exciting news for the NHL.
Absolutely. On Friday, the Seattle Kraken have become the official 32nd team in the NHL, so they can now do hockey operations, so they can sign players, they can make trades, they can do all that stuff now. So leads into the expansion draft, and
which we're both really excited about.
That's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yep.
I'm not sure if it's going to be Vegas draft as good, but it's still going to be good because there's a few teams that's decided to go for it all in the playoffs, and they could be in trouble here when it comes to the expansion draft. So
it'll be really interesting to see what happens. What are your thoughts on Vegas being exempt from the draft? Like I kind of feel like with the success they've had, it seems a little unfair to me that they wouldn't be involved in the expansion draft at all.
Yeah, I guess, but they're still a relatively new team, right? So they're what, four years into it now?
Something like four that, seasons? Yeah.
4 seasons in, so they don't have a whole lot of draft picks. Well, they traded most of them away already, but
yeah,
they've got a lot of success, but they're still a fairly young team as an NHL team anyway. So
yeah,
I can understand why they would. I think if it would have been maybe a year or two longer, I don't think they would have got the pass. But I think it's because it's only been a short amount of years since that Vegas entered the league. I think that's why they were given that. Where they were given the pass on this one.
Fair enough. Though it's good to see. I think Seattle's going to be a great hockey market, right? I think the Seattle Thunderbirds as a junior team have had some success there. And, yeah. You know, it's close enough. I think that rivalry with Vancouver, you know, that should play well. They're going to have a beautiful new arena there, right? Yeah. And there's going to be a lot of players available to them in the draft that I think are going to make them a competitive team. Maybe, like you said, not Vegas competitive, but close.
It's I think it's going to be close. Like I mentioned before, there's a few teams here that are probably going to have to make some side deals to keep some good players. So I think they are going to get some good players. So, and if you take a look at the way the West is shaping up, or the Pacific Division as it's going to shape up, if they go back to the traditional arrangement again next year, the only two teams that are really doing anything are Edmonton and Vegas.
Yeah,
the rest of the teams were terrible this year, so
they
get a half decent team. They could be in the mix again. It could be. It's possible, right?
Well, there's a lot of teams that are rebuilding right now, right? You've got like Calgary this year struggled. You know, if they go back to the Pacific Division, like you said, Anaheim's rebuilding, LA's rebuilding, Arizona. I think were they in that division too again? Like it was. They've got a lot of teams that are.
I think Arizona's getting moved out to let Seattle in.
Right. Oh, you're right. That is, good point.
So, and Vancouver took a huge step back, and then COVID gave them a huge kick in the teeth. So they're going to hopefully come back a little better off next year than they did this year. So,
yeah, I mean, they're a young team, right? They're still trying to find their footing, and they've got lots of new players on that team too, right? Like guys that get moved to a new place, they don't always adjust right away. It takes time. Yeah. So I think Vancouver will be a little better next year, but we're just going to have to see how it goes.
Yeah.
I guess I forgot to mention, so we jumped right into the hockey news, but in terms of actual fantasy, Bruce, there was a bit of heartache for the fantasy hockey hacks this week as you and I both lost in our semifinal in our ESPN league. Yeah. Really unfortunate because I was really looking forward to the two of us facing off in the final, but I guess I'll have to wait for another season.
We get to fight for third place now instead of first place.
I was really hoping for first. The third place is okay, but I won't be focusing on it this much as we anyway. So
I was hoping for that matchup too, and that's that. I got absolutely annihilated this week, so it wasn't even. I looked on Saturday, three of the teams that I had players from, I shut out on Saturday.
Yeah.
So but you can't win when that happens. So
No. And I had sort of similar things going on, right, where I just had players underperforming and I had schedule didn't necessarily help me. I had some injuries. It's all part of the fun, right? But
absolutely.
But that said, I did manage to pull out the win in Yahoo, so I'm quite excited about that.
The giant roster shuffle of 2020.
I mean, I feel a little bit greasy about that one, just the way that the whole thing went down. But I think I played within the rules of the game, and
absolutely, that was the way the rules were set, right?
It wasn't the way I wanted to play it, but he played it that way, and whatever. So it is what it is. But that's my fifth fantasy championship now since 2015. So.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Not too bad. Thank you, sir. All right, enough patting myself on the back here. So moving on, we had some rookies debuting this week. So Cole Caulfield had his NHL debut with the Montreal Canadiens. He played on the top line with Philip Deneau and Thomas Tatar. Just under 16 minutes. He had just over 2 minutes on the power play, 4 shots on goal. And he looked pretty impressive, actually. The underlying analytics suggests he played well, and he actually managed to get his first goal of his NHL career against Ottawa. It was the OT winner.
And it was a beauty.
And it was a beauty.
It was an absolute beauty. It was.
And just pure joy, right? You saw his face when he scored, and he was so excited, and you just felt really good for the kid.
You could just hear what that Ottawa player was saying when he saw Caulfield coming out of his vision on his right side. It's like, oh, crap. And, yeah, it was in the net before he could even get there. So it was.
Yeah. Well, good for him. And it was funny. Someone was talking after, and they said, he said, this has been the best year of his life. And, of course, it hasn't been the best year of a lot of people's lives. But but obviously a lot of really good things have happened for him. So congratulations to Cole Caulfield. That's good. He should have a real bright future here in the NHL.
Absolutely.
Not so good news. Jonathan Drouin took a leave of absence from the Montreal Canadiens this week. We don't really know anything other than he took a leave of absence, and the team is just asking that everyone provide him with some privacy. So unfortunate news there. Hopefully he's okay.
Yeah, very much so. He's a great player, so all the best to him.
Yep. Another rookie made his debut this week, Quinton Byfield, the second overall pick in last year's draft, made his debut against the Ducks on Wednesday. He played almost 18 minutes and 4:20 on the power play, 4 shots on goal, 2 penalty minutes. I will mention his ice time went down over the next 2 games. He kind of more or less got taken off the power play. So it'll be interesting to see how he progresses through the end of this season and into next season. He's a big guy. He's skilled, obviously being drafted second overall, but you know, he didn't show great at the World Juniors. You know, you don't want to put too much stock in that, but he's one of those guys, like he's going to be given every opportunity to succeed.
Yeah, no, I didn't see the game, but yeah, just I think he's going to be a really good player for LA down the road. What, do they ease him in, or after their first game, they're just going to throw him right into the fire and, hey, here you go, kid, and send him off, right? And then they seem to have managed him a bit more in the next 2 games. But
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you look at a lot of players, like some start off slow. You look at Stamkos. After the first season, they were wondering if he was going to even continue to play in the NHL after the way his first season went. And then, well, we all know what happened after that, and the rest is history, right? So it's...
Yeah, you never know, right? You just look at Jesse Puljujärvi, right? I talk with him lots now.
Another great example.
Like you just don't know, right? Everybody's different. Yeah. And guys usually that are a bit bigger like that, they take some time to grow into their body and just get up to speed, right? So...
Or you look at a guy like Laine. He started off great in Winnipeg, right? Now he's in Columbus, and it's
good point. Well, I think was he a scratch or was he injured?
He was scratched once, and then he was ill, I think, last week for he was out for an illness. Okay. But he's virtually just dropped off the face of the earth now since the trade to Columbus. He's
If you were a Laine owner this year, you weren't happy.
Yeah. There's even talk that he may not even be a Blue Jacket next year. Like, they may just, I don't know.
But would that surprise you?
No, because he deserves a better team. I guess that's a little harsh, but there's nobody on that team that can help him.
No.
He is a goal scorer. He needs someone that can feed him the puck, because he proved in Winnipeg that you give him the right spot, you give him the puck, He could be up there with Ovechkin. Like, he's got that kind of a shot, but there is nobody in Columbus that can set him up.
No, and he's got a coach.
He has to pass to himself. Like, it's
And he's got a coach that's going to give him a short leash, right? He's never really going to be given the benefit of the doubt, and if he's not playing defensively, he's going to sit. So
he needs some good setup people around him, and then if they can get him that, he will return to putting pucks in the net like he can. But with what they've got in Columbus right now, he's just not going to get there.
All right. So kind of moving on from guys who have been debuting in their careers, we've got a guy that's finishing his career. So Anaheim goaltender Ryan Miller is announced that he will be retiring following the season. He started his final game on Saturday against the Los Angeles Kings. He had a .920 save percentage, and the team pulled out a 6-2 win for him. So that's really cool. You'd like to see a guy go out on top like that.
Yeah. Well, Miller's even at, he's what, 41 now? 42?
I'm not even sure. He's got to be, right?
Still a hell of a goaltender. Like, it's just amazing. Like, and he's had one hell of a career. I don't know if it's going to be enough to get him into the Hall of Fame, but...
I was going to say, I think he might not be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he's a shoe-in. Like, he'll get there. I read he's the winningest goaltender in U.S. history.
Yes.
He's got a silver medal at the Olympics, right? I don't believe he ever won the Stanley Cup, but I mean, he's been a guy who's been, in his peak, he's been in Vezina conversations, and he's just always been one of those top-tier goaltenders, right?
Yeah. Absolutely, he's a fantastic and a fantastic person too, right?
We've
talked about his off the ice stuff he's done in communities and stuff like that too. So
So good to see a guy like that have some success on his way out.
Absolutely.
So I guess moving on here, we Connor McDavid had a hat trick and an assist in the Edmonton Oilers win over the Winnipeg Jets.
The leading reason why my fantasy team went the other way this week.
Man, if you had the good fortune to draft Connor McDavid this year, you are just he has to be the most rostered player on championship teams this year, because the way he's been playing, he's just out of this world. He had 10 points in 4 games this week. That's a 7.1 points per 60. Like, that's insane. He was over 21 minutes a game. He had 18 shots on goal, you know, over 3 minutes on the power play. He's on another level right now. And Bruce, I just want to get to this point here. So he's on pace for 99 points over 56 games. It's 146 point pace over 82 games played. Do you think he's going to hit that 100 point mark? Like, right now he's at 87 points in 49 games. Is there anything stopping him from hitting 100 points in 56?
No, I don't think Holtby or Demko this week is going to be able to stop him. I don't think so.
I think
because they've got, what is it, 4 games this week against Vancouver?
All against Vancouver, yep.
As long as they don't take their foot off the gas, he will do it before the end. He'll be over 100 points by the time they reach the end of the season, the way he's playing right now. That first goal he put over Markstrom,
that was
on
incredible.
Saturday.
Yeah.
I had to watch it over and over again. I still don't know how he managed to get that shot off, because it was a laser. Markstrom was stunned to see it go over his shoulder, because he didn't think the shot was coming.
I've just run out of words to use to describe his play, right? I don't know what to say anymore. Like, he just keeps doing it.
Incredible. Like,
Did you see that tweet somebody put out? I think it was Sportsnet. I'm not sure, but it's something about, they compared him and Crosby. And it said taking on teams since 2005 or something. And basically they showed side-by-side clips, and there was one of Crosby coming through, and there was 4 defenders on him, and he still scored a very similar goal to what McDavid did on Saturday. And those guys are kind of being compared a lot right now in their careers in the early going, right? Because their point totals over 400 games, I believe, were almost identical.
Yeah, they were very similar from what I had seen. So it'll be curious to see how McDavid now progresses, right? So the offensive side is what's showing, right? And now for Crosby, as he's continuing on in his career, it's his faceoffs and his defensive play that's getting him. He's still putting up great points, but it's his defensive play and stuff that he's getting known for now. And that's
why he's a complete player.
Oh yeah, it's
and throughout his career, you know, like, look who he's playing with. He's got, and no offense to Brian Rust, but that guy was a relatively unknown player 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's a guy that's going to put up 30 or 40 goals in a season, right? And Jake Guentzel, same thing, came out of college, and look how he's played with Crosby.
Yeah.
So, pretty cool to see. One other thing here, just quick about McDavid before we move on.
Yeah.
There are now only 6 players in NHL history that are ahead of him in their first 400 games played. So Wayne Gretzky at 935, Mario Lemieux at 774, Peter Stastny at 607, Mike Bossy at 598, Yari Curry at 570, and Eric Lindros at 563. So pretty rarefied air for Connor McDavid.
Yeah, and there's going to be yikes.
So, Bruce, like, where do you think he'll go next year in fantasy drafts? I'm not really sure.
McDavid?
Yeah. I'm kidding.
Pretty sure he's going first.
Yeah.
Well, unless the guy picking him hates the Oilers, and then it'd probably be McKinnon. But other than I can't see it.
No.
I can't see. It'll be another year where McDavid and Draisaitl will go 1 and 2.
Pretty much a slam dunk.
Maybe in some drafts, someone might pick McKinnon over Draisaitl, but in most cases, it's going to be 1-2 again for those guys.
You know, someone mentioned today on Twitter, Leon Draisaitl is having the quietest 119-point pace season on record.
Yeah.
You know, like, no one's talking about it because McDavid's been so good, but Draisaitl has been phenomenal this year as well.
Yeah, he had 4 assists last night too. So it's
right, just quietly. But like that goal that McDavid scored, that was McDavid coming through the neutral zone with speed and Draisaitl just putting it right on his tape.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you need is a guy like that can pass you the puck in stride. So
yeah.
Keeping in theme with the Oilers, Ryan McLeod made his NHL debut this week. He started on the third line, I think, with he was centering Devin Shore and Josh Archibald, but he was moved up on Saturday to play with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Jesse Puljujärvi, and he actually was centering that line, which created a bit of controversy amongst the Edmonton media because why wasn't Ryan Nugent-Hopkins playing center, right?
Yeah.
So I find that telling. Like, you know, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is a guy that you're supposed to be signing, hopefully, right, for next year.
Yeah.
But you're giving centerman duties to a rookie over, like, I just find that's interesting to me. I don't know. It's a bit telling as to where they see Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, I think.
Yeah. But, and I think too, they want to give this kid some confidence, right? So you've got Nuge on the line there too. So, you know, Nuge is defensively sound, right? So if McLeod does make an oops, Nuge is there.
He's there
to help, right? So, and just to see what the kid can do, right? Because he hasn't looked out of place since they brought him up and inserted him in the lineup. He's looked pretty good out there. So it's
Tippett likes him, right? He's
obviously he's got him centering the second line. It's like
he had nothing but good things to say, and he looks good. Like you said, he's not out of place. He's fast. He's got good hands. Lots of good things there.
Yeah, no, he's gonna be a solid player based on the little bit that we've seen him. He's going to be a solid player, and he's going to be big for the Oilers here going into the playoffs.
Well, and I heard it sounds like Philip Roberg is coming over to North America, and he's not going to the AHL. So I wonder if he's going to be available to the Oilers here come playoff time, and if he'll fit in. I mean, they've got Evan Bouchard, who's been sitting in the press box for the last 2 months.
From what I read, he's just going to be. He's going to be part of the Black Aces, basically.
Yeah.
They say he's not, unless there's a huge rash of injuries, he's not going to see any game time, but they wanted him here for the Oilers playoff run to see how everything, just to get him involved and.
Well, yeah, get involved with the team and kind of learn a bit about NHL life, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So moving on here, we had a slew of teams kind of clinch playoff berth. So now we've got the Vegas Golden Knights, the Avalanche, the Wild, the Panthers, the Lightning, the Hurricanes, the Leafs, Penguins, Islanders, Capitals have all clinched playoff berths. I don't believe the Oilers have as of yet, but I have to think that's coming soon.
I would think so. Not technically, yes.
But either way, it was really nice to see them beat up on Calgary on Saturday and just kind of dash their hopes. That made me smile.
The Battle of Alberta. It's always awesome to watch.
All right, so last little bit of NHL news here, and it's not really fantasy related at all, but it was such a big story this week, I wanted to mention it. The Vancouver Canucks have placed Jake Virtanen on leave after sexual misconduct allegations. Really unfortunate news. Seems to be we're hearing stories like this with more frequency, not just in the NHL, but in sports in general, and it was just... it was tough news to hear for him and for the team and obviously for anyone involved, right? I mean, I'm not going to comment on the situation. It's just thought I should mention it.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on, this kind of goes back to our conversation from last week. you know, our buddy John had mentioned this to me, and he said, we're just talking about the Calder race, right? We had kind of compared Jason Robertson and Kirill Kaprizov. And John made the comment, you know, like, they should look at the criteria for the Calder Cup, right? And I want your thoughts on this, because I kind of agree with them. And he said, like, the cap eligibility should be based on, it should be capped on age. You know, something like, you can't win the Calder over 22 years of age, or something along those lines. Like, for me, I didn't like, personally, I didn't like that Artemi Panarin won the Calder at the age of 24, right? He was playing with Patrick Kane in Chicago. He had a bunch of years in the KHL, and then he came over and he won the Calder, right? And I think that was the year he was up against McDavid, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so, yes.
You know what I mean? So, like, Connor McDavid's coming into the league as an 18-year-old, and he puts up over a point per game. Like, Panarin had 77 points in 80 games, which is still fantastic, but, you know, here's McDavid. He put up whatever it was, 45 points or 46 points in 40 games or something. Like, he looked really good, and as an 18-year-old. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins was another example where, you know, he had 52 points in 62 games, but Landeskog won it, and he had 52 points in 82 games. So, like, is there too much emphasis put on games played, for one? And two, do you agree at all that it should be capped based on age? Is there any validity to that?
I think there should be an age limit on it. Like, I'm thinking, like, you understand too, you're going to have players that go through the AHL that may spend a couple years there, right? Not every player is going to come directly from junior up into the NHL, right? So you look at, like, McDavid, Tavares, right? So those guys, they're special guys, right? So it's going to take special player or special circumstances to get there in the first year. These guys are going to spend some time in the AHL or other leagues, but yeah, there's got to be an age limit. I'm thinking 22. Like, I think you have 22 written here. That should be, a good cutoff, because that would give them, basically, if they come out of junior at 18, that gives them 3-4 years before they hit the NHL. Sounds about right. Like, if you to max out, it sounds about right to me.
You know, by the time you're 25, you've kind of, you're physically, you've matured, right? You've got more of your man strength. When you're 18, I mean, a lot of these kids are just coming into their own, right? So I just think there really has to be some consideration for that. But I doubt the NHL will ever look at it, right? It's just...
Because they consider, do they not consider the AHL a professional league?
As far as I'm concerned, it's considered a professional hockey league.
So whether it was the KHL or the Swedish Elite League or the AHL, if they're all considered professional leagues, then if they're all coming from different spots, then the age limit's about the only thing that you can do to limit that, right? So,
yeah. All right, it's good. Well, that's not a real big debate there, but yeah, I just wanted to touch on it because I thought it was a good point brought up by John. So, jumping into the injury report. So for myself, in ESPN, I own Nikolaj Ehlers. Actually, I think I had him in both leagues, ESPN and Yahoo. And, you know, he was a guy that was largely owned, I think about 90% owned across both leagues. He's now done for the season after sustaining an upper body injury last weekend against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Really unfortunate. I think he was their second leading scorer behind Kyle Connor. They're hoping he'll be back for playoffs, but who knows? Yeah.
If you lost Ehlers, go get Sam Bennett now if you can.
Yeah. If he's still available, right? If he's still available, and we'll jump into him in our waiver wire ads. Actually, probably him and Anthony Duclair are two guys you'd want to look at immediately.
Yeah. Ehlers, too, just even not even on the fantasy side, just on hockey in general, Ehlers is a huge loss for Winnipeg. Huge.
Oh, absolutely. Like, he's been, if not their best player, one of their best players this season.
Yeah. And they're hurting since he went down.
Yeah. They lost 4 or 5 straight now. Like, it's been bad.
It's 5 in a row now. Yeah.
And Hellebuck has looked terrible. Like, he looks like a minor leaguer, which is unfortunate, right? He's a Vezina Trophy winner, but he does not look good. Yeah. So anyway, I mean, in-house replacements for him in terms of fantasy for the upcoming week, there's not a lot, right? I mean, I know a guy like Pierre-Luc Dubois has been widely available. maybe a guy to look at, but I know he's also been playing some third line minutes. Andrew Kopp is another guy that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. I think he was being given some top line duties.
They moved, was it Mason Appleton up?
Mason Appleton, yeah.
Was another one they moved up, but I don't. He fills the spot, but I don't know if he's a fan. He's a hockey fill-in, but I don't know if he's a fantasy fill-in. I think you may have to look outside.
If you're looking in-house, there's not a whole lot there, right?
No.
Realistically. No. All right, moving on. Mikko Rantanen, he returned from injury on Friday night versus the San Jose Sharks. He was in COVID protocol for the past week or so. He's had 5 points in two games since returning. That's 7.3 points per 60. So he's actually produced at a higher clip than Connor McDavid in his first two games back. He's playing 20 and a half minutes, and he's getting 4.5 minutes of power play time on average. So he's looked really, really good.
He didn't miss a beat, but I don't, if I remember correctly, he was a, he didn't actually have COVID. He was close contact is what he was deemed. So we got some rest and he came out flying, literally.
Yep. Yeah, I had him in Yahoo, so he definitely helped me to glory this weekend. So that was good.
Along with half of the Detroit team.
we won't get into that too much, but there are some Lightning players in there too. Philip Zadina, actually, I'll give a little bit of love to Philip Zadina here on the podcast because he did score a goal for me today and cleaned up that category for me. So that was a big win. Just quickly before we move on from Rantanen, in Yahoo, if we're doing keepers again next year, which I believe we are, I need to make a decision between Pasternak or Rantanen. So in a keeper league, Bruce, right now, are you leaning Rantanen or David Pasternak?
Can you keep both? That would be my question. Can you keep both?
That would be ideal.
So it was two players, was it not, from last year that we were going to do?
Well, if that's the way it goes, I mean, I would keep both, no question, but...
you look at the lines those guys play on, right? So Pasta plays with Bergeron and Marchand, and Rantanen's with Landeskog and McKinnon's. I don't think there isn't a bad pick there. I don't think it really matters who you pick.
No. That's kind of a toss up, right? How do you even pick? And that's why I bring it up because I'll have to make that decision myself, but I'm sure some other people are wondering too, like there's gotta be rosters where that's been the case, right?
Yeah. I just don't think there's a bad pick there. I don't think it really matters which one you pick. The only thing that might lead me more towards Pasternak is Rantanen's had a bit of an injury history.
Yep.
So, and Pasta just had surgery here over the past, but he doesn't really have a history where Rantanen has missed time because of injuries. So,
well,
tip it that way, but or are you going the other way?
I was going the other way, and I was, but that's good though, because two different viewpoints. But I was going to say, like, Pasternak's had a couple injuries now where he sat out some time, but on the flip side, Rantanen playing with McKinnon and Landeskog, I think, is sustainable for a long period of time. Like, if you're looking at it in terms of a keeper league, those guys are in their prime right now, they're not going anywhere, right? Whereas, if you look at David Pasternak, Brad Marchand's 32, turning 33. He's not old, but I mean, by hockey standards, he's not a spring chicken. And Patrice Bergeron is now 37.
Yeah.
Is he 37? He's up there, right? I guess my argument would be, well, I know for at least the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, I've got Mikko Rantanen playing with one of the best players in the game in McKinnon and Landeskog. Yeah. So,
Bergeron's 35.
35. My apologies. Good thing we have the internet.
Good old Google.
All right. Moving on to the injury report here. Alex Ovechkin. He's missed a number of games this week with a lower body injury. I think he is still out as of today, if I'm not mistaken. Pull that up here. Which, for a lot of teams, that's got to be a big blow, right? Especially come finals.
Oh, absolutely.
And again, in-house replacements, there's not really much,
Daniel Capitals. Sprong.
There you go.
Sprong has stepped in there and he's he's been appointed game since he stepped into that spot for Ovechkin, so he'd be the in-house replacement. Probably not going to. He's not going to put up as many points as Ovechkin, but he's still going to get you some points.
But it's something to look at.
Yeah.
Okay, and the final one I had on the injury report here was Carter Hart. He was widely owned before the injury, but he's going to miss the rest of the regular season with an MCL strain. He's easily been one of the biggest busts in fantasy hockey this year. He finished with a 9-11-5 record, a 3.67 goals against average, and an .877 save percentage. So if you own Carter Hart, or if you drafted him early in a head-to-head categories league, you were definitely not happy, right?
No.
And so I guess moving forward, you're going to be looking at Brian Elliott or Alex Lyon, I believe, in Philadelphia. Those are kind of your options there. So
not touching either one of them.
But I 1,000% agree. I'm not looking at any Philadelphia goaltending at the moment.
No. Yeah.
So unfortunate for him, right? He's a lot of guys were talking about him like he's been the best goalie to come out of the WHL since Carey Price, and he just has not looked good this year.
Well, I'm wondering if he hasn't been trying to play through it.
Right.
And then finally it just caught up to him because he was playing he played great last year, and the beginning of the season wasn't too bad.
Right.
But then COVID hit them, and then they just haven't been right since COVID. And I'm just wondering if you got injured somewhere in there and tried to work through it, you just wouldn't.
Well, it could be. And the other thing that was concerning was he had terrible home road splits. I think he was really good at home, and I think he was terrible on the road. I have to go back and check that. But either way, you know, you like to see some consistency from your goaltender, right? Like you got to be able to play on the road or at home.
Like for next season, I won't have any trouble drafting. Let me not draft him as high as I would have this year, but I still have no trouble adding him to my team next year.
You know, for me, he's one of those guys I would probably draft him if that were kind of the best option left. Like Philadelphia has been a pretty reliable fantasy team over the past few years, right? Like they've had a lot of success. So they've been like a close to a playoff team or a bubble team. So I haven't had much concern about picking up Philadelphia goaltenders, but this year was not good.
Well, just since they had COVID go through their room, right? They were looking good up until COVID hit them. And then after that, it's just like something just gave them just that little bit of a nudge in the wrong direction. And they just look a little dysfunctional. Just not quite clicking, right?
So. Not a team I'm going to be looking at if you are in the final week of fantasy hockey playoffs, right?
No.
So I guess unless you have anything else for the injury report, Bruce, we're going to move on to waiver wire ads. So this one's it's out of the box already, but as you mentioned, and maybe I'll let you talk about this one here, Sam Bennett from the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, since he's... He came over from the Flames. He has been literally lighting the house on fire. So it's definitely not something I expected to see. I figured he'd go over Florida. He'd play on the third line. He'd give him some help and get him ready for the playoffs. But holy cow, he's like a brand new player going out there. He's playing on the second line now with Huberto and Duclair, and they're just kicking butt.
Well, I managed to pick him up. I picked him up in Yahoo, I think 2 weeks ago, and like 15 points in his 11 games played since joining his last 11 games. Since joining Florida, he's got 13 points in 9 games played. So he's at 4.8 points per 60, over 18 minutes a game, 3.5 minutes on the power play, plus 11. So again, if you're in a categories league, he's a plus player, puts up lots of shots on goal. He gets penalty minutes. He gets hits. Like he's a complete category coverage player.
Yeah,
like
absolutely. If he's available in your league, go get him.
Don't think twice about it. And
no, exactly.
Shockingly, he's only 38% owned in ESPN. I don't know what guys in ESPN are doing, but
don't either.
He's 60% owned in Yahoo, so you know, obviously higher, closer, but to where it should be. But still, like in 40% of leagues, he's available. That's shocking.
It's very shocking.
Only thing I can think, Bruce, is because there's only two games. The Panthers only play two games next week.
Okay. Yeah, that
against Dallas sense. And Tampa. So that to me, that's probably
that's your,
the only.
If that's your finals, then yeah, it's.
But so that brings up the question for the waiver wire, Bruce. Are you buying or selling on Sam Bennett for next week with two games played?
I guess it depends on how big your league is. So if you're in,
let's say it's a 10 or a 12 team league, like a, you know, deeper.
If it's a 12 team league, I probably would be picking him up. If he's available in a 12 team league, I think I definitely would be picking him up. If it's an 18 league or something like that, I think there probably be better options available in an 18 league.
Yeah.
But I think you're looking at a 10 or a 12. I think if he's still out there, I think he's worth it for the two games. Even if you literally just are the games close together or are they spread apart?
Let me look here quick.
If you're looking at a daily fantasy play during the week, that
yeah, would you be know a what they're for that. They're stretched right out. So he plays on the Monday, May 3rd at the Dallas Stars, or they're home to the Dallas Stars. And then they don't play again until Saturday, May 8th against Tampa Bay.
Pick him up for the game, drop him, and then pick him up again the next game.
Well, I've done that plenty, right? If you can get a guy that plays a Monday, Tuesday, get those two starts, drop him, and if he doesn't play till Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then try and pick him up again later on in the week, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and so there's Duclair too, right? That's another guy. I didn't have him in our show notes here, but he's also looked really good in the past two, three, 4 weeks, right? Playing on that line with Huberto and Sam Bennett. So if he's out there, definitely take a look at him. So okay, I guess yeah. So safe to say, Bruce, you're buying on this one.
Yeah, absolutely.
All righty. Next we got Cole Caulfield. You know, the offense hasn't really been earth-shattering at this point. He did score his first goal, like we said. It was the overtime winner. I guess the high-danger scoring chances and all the underlying analytics suggest that he's going to get there. He's making adjustments. I know Kevin Bieksa was talking about him last night on Hockey Night in Canada and just saying that the kid's adjusting, right? You can see that he's making adjustments in his game. He's getting used to the speed. It's going to take him some time, but he's getting top six placement and power play time, and he's excelled at every level of the game that he's played. So, you know, do you want to gamble on a rookie this late in the season? Maybe not. But if it's a deep league and you need some help with goals, shots on goal, or power play points, take a look. He does have four games next week. So Toronto, Ottawa, and then finishes the week off with Toronto and Toronto again. So, Bruce, what are your thoughts on the guy? I guess the other point I'll make here, too, is Brendan Gallagher is out with injury, right? So
yeah.
There's not a lot on that right side in Montreal right now. Like, he's going to be given opportunity.
Well, and they lost Drouin too, so they need someone to fill in for him, right? So it's, yeah, if you're in a really deep league, he might be worth an add, but otherwise I probably would look somewhere else, at least in the short term anyway.
Okay, so Bruce is selling for now. Maybe in keeper leagues you'd pick him up and hold on to him for next season.
Yeah, the keeper or like even the dynasty league, he'd be worth it. He'd be definitely worth picking up. He's starting now, so next season he'll be better. But for the finals week, I don't know if I would grab him just if you're in the week of the finals.
Well, you know who I see him at, like as a comparable. He's kind of like an Alex DeBrincat.
It could end up being that way, yeah.
You know, like I wonder if he's going to be that type of player where he's got 40 goal potential. Like, because that's kind of what he is, right? He's a goal
Canadians
scorer.
Are sure hoping so, because they right? need that. They really haven't had a good goal scorer since Pacioretty, so.
Yep, something to think about. Excuse me. Next one here on the list is Nick Bonino from the Minnesota Wild. He's 11.5% owned in ESPN and 15% owned in Yahoo. He's at 11 points in his last seven games played. He's averaging 302 on the first power play unit with Kirill Kaprizov. I'll mention he is playing on the fourth line, but he's got exposure there to Zach Parise. He's also had some time with Joel Eriksson Ek and Kevin Fiala, and he's been averaging over 60 minutes a game. So, Bruce, what are your thoughts on this guy? He went a little bit cold this week. Like, he's a guy that I looked at just because he played four games last week. What do you think? Buying or selling?
No, I'm not buying. I'm not in finals league anyway.
Okay. It's not enough production, or what do you thought?
No, it's just, well, yeah, if he was playing consistently higher up than the fourth line, I'd probably give it more of a consideration. But sure, if he's getting power play time is one thing, but he's making the most of the time he's there, but he's not there a lot of the time. So if you're going into the finals, it's tough to trust a player. And you look through the list here, there's better options available when you go through our list. And
yep, for sure. Well. All right, moving on from him.
Next guy on the list.
Yeah, so maybe you want to take this one, Jack Hughes, New Jersey Devils.
So, so Jack Hughes here for the New Jersey Devils. He's got, 13 points in his last 17 games, so he's leading the charge again for the Devils, right? So him and his counterpart that we're going to mention next here. These are guys that if they're available, so they're, 43% in Yahoo and 45% in ESPN for Jack Hughes. That'd be someone worth picking up. They're in tough this week, though. They got Boston twice and the Islanders twice. So,
and we just saw what the Islanders did to the Rangers, right? So,
yeah. So the Boston games, you'll probably get some points. The Islanders games, they're going to be tough defensive games. So it's...
Yeah. Well, I thought was interesting, again, if you're in a categories league, Jack Hughes, he has 57 shots on goal in the last 17 games. Like, that's, he's kind of in Ovechkin territory in terms of shots on goal.
Yeah. So,
that's, to me, that was just really impressive. I thought he's averaging over 20 minutes a game now. He's the guy. Like, there's not a lot of offense in New Jersey now, and he's just, that's it, right? Like, so he's going to be given opportunity, and he does have four games, so the schedule looks pretty favorable for Jack Hughes next week.
Yeah.
The next one is a relatively unknown player for me anyway, is Igor Sharangovich. I probably butchered that, but doesn't matter. New Jersey Devils, he's 5% owned in ESPN, 7% owned in Yahoo. The team that I played in Yahoo this week picked up Sharangovich, and I think he scored pretty much every game he played.
He had
multi-point efforts.
I was looking him up here in when I was doing a search for waiver wire things too, and I saw him on the show notes. I figured I'd look it up, and it's like, holy cow, like he's actually ranked higher than Hughes in the last 2 weeks for points in that. So it's,
he's looked good. Eight points in his last seven games played. So a 3.8 points per 60 scoring rate, that's high, right? I mean, obviously the replacement level player is 2 points per 60. So he's done really well that way. He's playing with Jack Hughes at 5-on-5.
There's four games this week too. So if you need a player, whether it be injury or like you said, you got a Ovechkin that's out or something, he'd be a worthwhile ad to put in and to fill in.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, moving on. We've got some defensemen here to look at. So first off is Alex Goligoski. What are your thoughts on this guy, Bruce? I sort of reluctantly picked him up this week, but he's been putting up points lately, right?
Yeah, lately he's been good, right? So, and when I saw him on the list, I got to look this up because it's like, boy, we're really scraping the bottom.
We're reaching here.
But the past 2 weeks, he's ranked right up there for points. So he's another one he's another good one with category coverage too. So, and they've got two games against the Kings and two games against the Sharks. So there's definitely opportunity there for him. So,
yeah, I think favorable schedules. And one thing that I liked, he's playing at 5-on-5 with Jacob Chychrun. And I think we can agree that Chychrun is he's a top 15 defenseman this year in fantasy, right?
Absolutely. He's made some great strides this year, and he'll make another jump next year too.
He's pretty much the guy in Arizona now, right? Like I know OEL is the guy if you defensively, but I think in terms of offense, it's Jacob Chychrun now.
Yeah. In a couple of articles I read, they're saying already that Chychrun has bypassed OLE in a lot of defensive categories already too. So
there you go. So Bruce, you're buying.
I am. Yeah, if you need a defenseman, he's one to add.
Alrighty. He is 50% owned in ESPN and 36% owned in Yahoo, so he's still out there. Cody Ceci, you're talking about, scraping the bottom of the barrel. This one is definitely for me, I kind of saw this one, and I don't know. But Pittsburgh's playing really well right now as a team. He's got 10 points in his last 16 games played, and he's a plus seven. So, you know, if you're looking for plus minus and some exposure to Pittsburgh, their top six, that's a guy that could potentially help you. And then two, the schedule for next week is favorable. They play Philadelphia twice and Buffalo twice. Very favorable schedule. I know we're kind of reaching a bit here with this one, but Bruce, are you buying or selling?
I had to do some research because I actually heard this on another podcast. This guy actually had CC for most of the season. So from what I understand, though, it was a fairly deep league that he was in, but
yep.
He's another one. He's a good category coverage. He's been chipping in points here for the last few games. So if you're in tough for a defenseman, he'd be a good add because, yeah, they've got a great schedule going into this week. So,
all right. This one I'm excited about. I'm actually really curious to see what his role looks like next year. It's Alex Nedeljkovic with the Carolina Hurricanes.
Glad you pronounced it because I wouldn't pronounce it.
Man, when I have to spell this, I definitely copy and paste from Google because I have no idea. Yeah, anyway, but 38% owned in ESPN, 59% owned in Yahoo. He's got 14 wins in 21 games played this year. If you look at Dauber Hockey's Frozen Tools tool, they kind of give a quality starts percentage to goaltenders, and he's got a 67% quality starts percentage. So he's looked really good. He's got a 1.89 goals against average, a 934 save percentage, and 3 shutouts this year. So he's looked very, very good. If you're looking for a goaltender with good peripherals, good category coverage, plays for a very good team in the Carolina Hurricanes. And next week, there's 4 games, 3 times against Chicago and once against Nashville. The only thing here with him is Mrazek will likely be back sometime next week, but we're not exactly sure. And he's been splitting a bit of time with James Reimer too. But I would suggest you're probably going to get at least 2 starts of this guy next week, 1 or 2 against Chicago.
Well, depending on when Mrazek comes back, only time you're going to see Reimer is in a back-to-back scenario. Otherwise, they'll be playing Alex because he is by far the better goaltender of the two with Mrazek being out.
Well, and I don't know if you saw the clip or not. He made that it was an overtime. He made that nice bank pass to Dougie Hamilton, in the overtime, too. Right? So he got some puck handling skills too, apparently. So that I had him for a couple games this week. He looked really good. Bruce, can I assume you're buying on this one?
Yeah, he's supplanted Reimer already as the backup goalie, and I think he will be the reason why Reimer won't be back next season for Carolina.
Well, and what does that mean for Mrazek? Like, do you think, is this going to be a timeshare next year?
I think the net will be Mrazek's for as long as Mrazek can hang on to it, right? If he gets hurt again and Alex keeps playing like this, Mrazek will find himself being the backup when he comes back from injury. The kid has played really, really well. And they got a really good team, but he's played really well for him. So he's proved himself this season already.
Yeah, definitely.
So he's definitely carved himself out a role for next season, I would say. I would be surprised to see Reimer back next year.
Yeah, me too. All right, sticking with the goaltending theme, I'm going to let you take this one.
Spencer Knight. Does that work? Yeah, Spencer Knight is the next one.
Spencer Knight, yep, the Florida Panthers.
Holy cow, Spencer Knight. 3 wins, 3 games played, 1.67 goals against, 943 save percentage. Oh boy, they got, I don't know what to say about the goalie situation there, but whether it be spot pickups or daily fantasy, when Knight's in there, I'm picking him up to play. His play so far is going to make it real interesting in Florida, what they decide to do at the end of the season with their goaltending situation. Is Driedger a free agent or is he a restricted free agent?
That's a good question. I'm not entirely sure. I think he might be exposed in the expansion draft, right? Like I'm kind of talking at a turn here, but I don't think Driedger will be around, you know, beyond this season, in my opinion. I just think if you got a guy like Spencer Knight,
that'll be good news for Bobrovsky then, because
well, yeah, But how? Like, but how are you? Like, if you're the Florida Panthers, how are you going to offload Sergei Bobrovsky at $10 million a season?
You offer a really nice draft pick to the Seattle Kraken to take him. That's about.
Yeah, if they can make that work.
Like, Driedger has played really well. Bobrovsky has taken a while to find himself again. He's been fairly good here as of late, but I don't know. That's an awfully crowded crease there in Florida. So,
yeah.
But no, during your fantasy finals this week, and you get a chance, the Knight is playing, you got a chance to pick him up for a spot start. I'm picking him up for a spot start.
I wouldn't hesitate for a second to pick him up because Florida's looked really good this year. Dallas is struggling right now, right? They have a game against Dallas and one against Tampa Bay. And even Tampa Bay, without Stamkos and Kucherov, you know, they've been just kind of ho-hum, okay. Right? They've been just okay lately. So, and actually, Vasilevsky didn't play either game this weekend.
No, he got the weekend off.
Right? So they're resting him now for the playoffs. So,
yeah,
I think if you got a chance, Spencer Knight, give him a shot this week.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that wraps up our waiver wire picks here for the upcoming week. I did just want to make a few few thoughts here on the schedule and the upcoming schedule. So whether or not it was mentioned already, but the Carolina Hurricanes, they play four times next week. So again, three times against Chicago, once against Nashville. If you can get your hands on any Carolina Hurricanes players next week, definitely do so. The Avalanche play four times next week, twice against the Sharks and twice against the Kings. The Oilers play four times, like you said, Bruce, against the Vancouver Canucks. The Islanders play four times next week, twice against Buffalo and twice against New Jersey. And Pittsburgh four times next week, twice against Philly and twice against the Sabres. So kind of keep an eye on those teams and any players that may be available. Obviously, this time of year, you know, the schedule becomes even more important than throughout the rest of the regular season.
Absolutely. And who would have expected Pittsburgh is leading their division now, where you wouldn't have saw that coming earlier in the season, right?
No. What a story.
Hextall and Berkey come in and it's like, they're a new team, right? Then too, he said, Berkey had said in his press conference, this group was going to get a chance, right? And they are making the most of it.
Berkey was so excited to manage a team with Sidney Crosby, right? Because when he was in Sidney's draft year, I think, was it Bobby Ryan or who did they take? He just missed out. He was on one pick in the draft lottery. He just narrowly missed out on drafting Sidney Crosby, and he was crushed, right?
Pittsburgh won the lottery, and that was contested, right? So the way that lottery was set up, and they got Bobby Ryan at number two.
Which, I mean, you know, he's been an okay player throughout his career, but obviously not a generational player. So, just Berkey's excited to be back in Pittsburgh, back in hockey, and it's been good for that team to just have a bit of a shakeup too, I think, right?
Absolutely.
So, all right, Bruce, well, I think that kind of does it for this week. We're starting to run a little bit long. We're almost at an hour here, so... I guess unless you've got anything else you want to cover for this week, waiver wire pickups or otherwise, we'll kind of wrap it up there.
Well, I'm good for this week.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Visit our website, fantasyhockeyhacks.com. And if you have any feedback, please feel free to follow us on Twitter. Send us any questions you might have about schedules or players for the upcoming week. And if you have any other topics you want to discuss in future episodes, feel free to reach out to us, fantasyhockeyhacks@gmail.com. All right, with that, Bruce, we'll sign off and we'll see everybody next week.
Good night, everybody.
All right, take care.